Hello, hello, writers. I'm Kristen Kiefer, author of fantasy fiction and creative writing resources. And you are listening to the Well Storied podcast, where I share insights, encouragement, and actionable advice designed to help you craft sensational novels and build your best writing life. Always in 30 minutes or less, so you can get back to writing, of course. Ready for the show? Let's get talking. Alrighty, writers. Hello. Welcome. Come on in. Today we are talking about how to structure compelling scenes. Today's episode was specifically inspired by Kelsey, who reached out to me via email after enjoying one of the free email courses that I offer through Well Storied. When I asked Kelsey if she had any ideas for upcoming courses that she would like me to create, one of the topics that she mentioned was a course on structuring scenes. I thought this topic was better suited to an article, and thus today's article and podcast episode was born. So a big thank you to you, Kelsey, for inspiring this one. So in today's episode, we cover several things. Firstly, we talk about what is a scene exactly, because a scene is more than just a fun, frightening, or steamy moment between your characters. We also break down the six elements that nearly all well-structured and compelling scenes contain, and we answer the question of how you can ensure that your scene is purposeful and powerful. And I show you how to do that by summarizing your scene in a simple 1-to-2 sentence formula. So, compelling scenes, here we come. But before we dive in, I would, as always, like to take you behind the scenes at Well Storied and share an update on what's been going on lately. The big thing this week is that I have begun work on draft 2 of my first full-length nonfiction project called Build Your Best Writing Life, which you guys have probably heard me talk about a little bit here and there. I started work on this second draft on Monday. I did a complete read-through of Build Your Best Writing Life and took a couple of revision notes, and I'm really, really happy. I was really happy to discover that I didn't feel that the book needed any major structural overhauls. I didn't think that there were any chapters that needed to be cut or chapters that needed to be added. I thought they were all in a great order. I thought everything was really well laid out. And I'm especially happy to discover that after how much I struggled with the initial outline of this book when I first began drafting. I had put together an outline that I thought was really solid, got about 10,000 words into drafting, and then kept cutting and adding chapters like crazy to the point where I stayed between 8 and 15,000 words in this draft for like a good 4 weeks before I finally settled on a structure that I knew I could be proud to move forward with. So to read back the draft now and to realize that all of that pain and heartache in the beginning actually did lead somewhere and set me up for success here with revision was really, really excited. So there are 31 chapters in this book, and it is my goal to finish revising this second draft of Build Your Best Writing Life by the end of the month. It is currently May 2019. And so to do that, I need to revise 2 chapters every workday, Monday through Friday. And so far, that's going really well. I've conquered the first 4 chapters, and I'll be working on more later this week. One thing I think that has been helping me with this revision process is actually the what I like to call the godforsaken Comic Sans writing trick. Comic Sans is a specific font. If you're aware of it, it's been a bit of a meme because it's such a terrible, childish font to look at. And there's actually this writing trick. There was this article that went around, I believe, on Lifehacker that talked about how you need to get over yourself and start writing and revising in Comic Sans. The reason being, the science behind it, is that every letter in the font Comic Sans is specifically designed to look vastly different from the others. So there's no confusing a D with a B or a G with a P. Every letter is distinct and unique. So while this creates a very childish looking font and not a very elegant or aesthetically pleasing font, it also is a lot easier on your eyes, which means that when you sit down to write or revise, you don't look at your page, look at your text, and have your eyes just start to glaze over because it all bleeds together. The thing with the Comic Sans trick is that it's supposed to help you retain focus and attention on your work. So I was hesitant to try this trick despite seeing that it seemed to be working for other people just because it is such an awful font and I care a lot about fonts, funnily enough. But hey, anything for the writing, right? So I went ahead and tried revising in Comic Sans on the past couple of days, and it's working so well. I cannot tell you how well it is working. I cannot explain. I have now been using it just these past 2 or 3 days for pretty much any piece of content that I'm writing or revising. It's kind of brilliant. You should give it a try. I'll try to remember to link that original article for you in today's episode description so you can learn a little more about it. Finally, in our behind the scenes section here, I would like to remind you that a new guest post is now live over on the Well Story blog. This post is called 7 Tips for Submitting Your Fiction for Publication, and it was written by Lynn Lumsden Green, who has twin bachelor degrees in science and the arts, spent 15 years as the science queen for HarperCollins Voyager Online, and has published fiction in a whole variety of anthologies. She also captains the Writing Race for Australian Writers Marketplace on Facebook. So all that to say is she is well-versed in what it means to work hard to turn your writing into a career, and part of that is submitting your fiction for many writers, so Lynn has a lot of experience there, and she's sharing her best tips in this week's guest post. So if you would like to check that out, make sure to head on over to well-storied.com/subtips. If you would like to submit your own guest post for the Well Story blog, you can head on over to www.well-storied.com/guest to find all of our guest post submission guidelines. Today's episode of the podcast translates the latest article from the Well Storied blog into audio. Titled How to Structure Compelling Scenes, you can find the article that also serves as the episode transcript at www.well-storied.com/scenes. Now let's dive in. How to structure compelling scenes. Every phenomenal story unfolds in a series of scenes. If each scene in a book is a link in a chain, one weak link can threaten the overall power of a story. By learning how to craft better, more compelling scenes, scenes that are irresistible in their interest and emotional pull, we learn how to craft better, more compelling stories. But what exactly makes for a spellbinding, well-structured scene? To answer that question, we must first ask another. What is a scene exactly? I've often heard it said that a scene is a story within a story, that it should have an arc of its own. I don't disagree with this statement entirely. Compelling scenes should have strong arcs, contain or introduce conflict, and lead readers on a physical or emotional journey. But good stories have strong resolutions, and that's one factor that many scenes do not contain. What all compelling scenes do boast, however, is movement. Remember, stories unfold in a series of scenes. That means some measure of unfolding must happen in every scene you write, a figurative page turned as surely as the literal. For this to happen, each scene you write must serve a purpose. It must progress the plot or character's development, building upon what came before and leading into what's coming next. Though scenes may vary greatly in their content, there are 6 elements that nearly all well-structured, purposeful, and compelling scenes contain. Let's break them down today. The first element is a strong sense of place and atmosphere. Compelling scenes do not take place in a vacuum. They need backdrops, or better yet, full-blown sets with props that allow characters to interact and engage with the world around them. The more interactive and purposeful a setting, the more it will come alive in readers' minds. With setting should come a strong atmosphere. How are readers meant to feel as the scene unfolds? How can you evoke this through your scene's setting and the way in which your characters engage with it? In today's episode transcript, I've included a link to an article on how to craft immersive setting descriptions, so make sure to check out that link in today's episode description. Element number two, a grounding character. Every scene needs a grounding character, someone to whom readers can cling. Otherwise, readers are left adrift in a story in which they have no personal stake. Most modern novels make use of point-of-view characters to ground readers in each scene, often deepening the connection through the technique called deep point-of-view. But even stories that utilize narrators or alternative frameworks need an emotional lightning rod. Who will readers connect with? Who will pull them through the scene? Again, I've linked articles on deep point-of-view and alternative frameworks for your story in today's episode transcript at well-storied.com/scenes. Element number three, an intriguing hook. A narrative hook is the source of intrigue that draws readers into a story or scene. Most often, hooks pose the question, what will happen next? The easiest way to introduce this question is through a classic piece of writing advice. First, get your hero up a tree. Then, throw rocks at him. A hook may also promise resolution. The reunion of beloved characters, a celebration following victory, the first culmination of romantic chemistry. But regardless of whether you pose a question or a promise, the art of the hook lies in a tease. How can you make the reader ask what or will it happen? In today's episode transcript, you guessed it, I've linked another article for you, this time on how to weave threads of tension through your story. Threads of tension are questions. Will it happen? What will happen? And so on. So make sure to check out that article if you would like more information on this topic. Element number four, a bit of turmoil. Every scene should take place somewhere within the pacing cycle, the general movement from external conflict to external consequences, internal consequences, acceptance, and back again. These events may overlap at times or be skipped altogether, but even the happiest of scenes should contain rising or falling action based around turmoil. Your characters are reuniting, but did they last part on bad terms? Your characters are celebrating a victory, but what losses did they suffer along the way? Whether you're introducing or resolving conflict, and whether that conflict is internal or external, bear in mind that turmoil must serve a purpose. Conflict for conflict's sake is not conducive to plot. It's just drama. How does the turmoil in each scene you write feed into a larger plot or character arc? Element number five, emotional weight. A fast-paced sword fight or a first kiss has just as much potential to be boring as it does thrilling, all depending on whether you've given readers good reason to care what happens next. And caring comes from a place of emotional connection. Using a well-developed character to ground readers in a scene is a great way to create emotional weight, as is developing a strong hook and compelling turmoil. But emotional weight can also come from callbacks. How can you pull characters' backstories into the present? How can you highlight threads of tension from scenes gone by? How can you make use of foreshadowing and then follow up on it? The more interwoven your scenes and developed your characters, the stronger the emotional weight your scenes will bear. And finally, element number six, a strong sense of movement. Every scene should unfold a new page in your story's arcs, but it should also lead into unfolding the next, creating a sense of movement that draws readers from scene to scene. This doesn't mean leaving each scene on a cliffhanger. It simply means proposing or highlighting questions that remain in need of answering, creating turning points that pull threads of tension taut. Remember the pacing cycle. How will your characters deal with the physical and emotional consequences following an instance of conflict? What new conflict will loom on the horizon after those consequences have been addressed? Is there a threat that yet lurks in the shadows? Even the happiest of scenes should still fall within the context of a larger thread of tension, or should lead into a new, with only the final scene in your book resolving all the questions and conflicts you've proposed. Once again, I've linked an article for you on the pacing cycle in today's episode transcript, so make sure to check out that link in today's description. Ultimately, a good scene is more than an interesting concept or round of witty banter, more than shock value or titillation. Where dull scenes are self-indulgent, compelling scenes are crafted with care to fit inside a larger framework. Remember that well-structured scenes contain turning points. This means they can often be summarized within a sentence or two that hinges upon a but, or though, or until. For example, Katniss hopes to avoid being chosen as a competitor in the Hunger Games, but volunteers as tribute when her sister's name is called. Though the presence of Mr. Darcy initially delights the residents of Hertfordshire in Pride and Prejudice, his proud demeanor at the assembly soon spoils their interest. In The Notebook, Ally remains at bliss in her passionate reunion with Noah, until her mother warns that her fiancé has come to town. With each turning point, these scenes introduce movement in the plot. Combined with the remaining elements we discussed, this movement lends itself to a powerful and well-structured scene that compels readers to keep on turning pages. So what do you say, writer? Shall we go craft a few compelling scenes of our own? Thank you for listening to today's episode of The Podcast Writer. I hope you found it helpful to your writing journey. If so, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new episode, and to give the podcast a quick rating and review. Doing so goes a long way toward helping the podcast reach new writers and lets me know that you're enjoying what I'm creating. You can also give me a shout out directly on Twitter at Kristen_Kiefer. For additional guidance as you work to craft sensational novels and build your best writing life, be sure to head on over to www.well-storied.com, where I share blog posts, workbooks, e-courses, and other helpful resources for writers. Again, that's well-storied.com. Thank you again for tuning into today's episode, my friend. Until next time, happy writing!